With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Serie A fan. Upside, inside, ouch. We're living the Vidal Loca this week. So we give you a whistle-stop tour through last weekend's action, Coppa Italia, and Arturo Vidal's shocking miss. All that, plus previews of the Rome Derby, the Derby d'Italia, and all the latest transfer talk. This week's episode of Scudetto. Hello and welcome to Scudetto. We are back with another mini-episode this week. There's been a whole round of games since we last recorded, plus half a round of Coppa Italia, and there's some absolutely massive games coming up this weekend that we're going to focus on. So no chance of getting through everything. Sorry about that. On the bright side, I am joined once again by Kenny and Baz. Baz, I'm going to come to you first for a change. How are you getting on?
I'm doing very well. Winter is in the air here, so strange to see some rain.
I think you said it was 25 degrees yesterday, right?
Yeah, now we're going for four or five days of rain. So, you know.
I'm going to say get out of here again.
Yeah, I mean, it's minus 21 here and we've just had 50 centimeters of snow, which has actually been quite fun. We just bought a sledge.
our lives are so radically different. You're buying a sledge and I'm running on a beach.
And Kenny, you're in the middle in a dreary lockdown, keeping your spirits up.
Yeah, it is pretty dreary. It's been raining quite a lot. We had snow last week, but we don't even really have that at the moment. Just lots of grey. But we've been told to stay in the house anyway, so perfect weather for that.
And understandably, you've finished your dry January attempt. So do you want to tell us about the beer that you've got there?
I think unfair. I said last week just a couple of weeks off.
Well, it's on record, our listeners can judge themselves.
I've got a beer, yeah, and there's not much you can do about it because you're in Finland. So I've got it's another Leith brewery. It's a brewery called New Barns Brewery, and this is their pale ale. It's just called pale ale. I can't pronounce one of the words on it. Citra and Equinot.
Equinot, what, like Equinox, but with a two.
Yeah, and with a K instead of a Q.
Baz, I forgot to ask you about your beer. What have you got?
I've got a company called Good Stuff Brewing, and the beer itself is called Education. So I'm looking forward to taking it in and seeing what I can learn from it.
I was about to say good stuff. Fantastic news.
This beer's quite nice.
Just bring out all our cliches. Right, so yeah, as I said, we're going to focus on the two big games this weekend, starting off with Lazio Roma, and then which is tomorrow night, and then into Juve, which is Sunday evening. So starting off with Lazio Roma, Baz, the two clubs have been kind of smack talking each other in the press this week a little bit ahead of this game, haven't they?
This is always a very tasty game, but it feels to me like this one in particular has been getting quite vocal from fans and celebrity fans and ex-players of both teams. A few tasty zingers in there.
Yeah, and we gave Roma an honourable last week, just saying that they'd been in a good bit of form. And that the good form's kind of continued. That they had a big game against Inter last weekend, which we should probably discuss. Kenny, do you want to run with that one? What did you make of it?
It was a great game. I think we've come to expect Inter to be a bit Jekyll and Hyde. Normally it's probably like one half of one and one half of the other, but this time Roma started very well. Inter then took complete control of the game, and then once they went in front, decided to take off a striker and sit back and try and defend a lead when they quite clearly should have been pressing for the third, and there was just an avalanche of Roma pressure. I was chatting to you. We talk quite a lot about our WhatsApp conversations, chatting to you guys about this game as it was going on. And as the two Inter goals went in, I think I just texted, well, that was coming. And then the next one went in and I said, well, that was coming. And then Roma equalized. I said, that one was coming too. And it was, because Inter, just as soon as they got in front, just seemed to, they didn't even really try and close up shop. I mean, they didn't even do that effectively. It's not like they reduced the Roma to efforts from distance and made it difficult to play their way through. And yeah, for the neutral, a really, really entertaining game. 2-2, probably the sort of fair result at the end of it.
I don't understand why Inter didn't cash in on Perisic in the summer, and possibly the pandemic had something to do with it. But right now, he really doesn't fit into Conte's tactics at all. He was thrown in place of Lautaro, and realistically, he's not a striker. He's kind of a winger, and Conte just doesn't play that position. And so you have a player on the pitch who is not playing to his strength. And generally speaking, as Kenny said, Inter showed a good period of 25 minutes, half an hour of real dominance. They showed the kind of football that will win you leagues. But as soon as these subs were made by Conte, they started backing up, and the draw was felt almost inevitable. And the people who are most happy about this draw are probably the team on top of the table.
Yeah, I was going to say a draw sort of suits no one. So Milan today, 3 points ahead at the top, followed by Inter and Roma, who are 3 points behind them. Yeah, we'll talk maybe a little bit more about Inter when we discuss their game against Juve in a little bit. But just to do the other side of it, Buzz, who was it that was in the press saying that Roma are better against big teams and so they don't have to worry about this one?
This was a former Roma striker, Ruggero Rizzitelli, who basically had a massive diss of Lazio. And Lazio themselves have been celebrating their 121st anniversary this week, and they've made sure that Roma realized that Lazio have actually lifted some trophies in the past few years. In fact, some of the social media banter that kind of tickled me was that former Roma player Florenzi won his first cup in his career with PSG this week, and the Lazio fans were trolling him by saying, it must be nice to win a trophy once in a while.
Yeah, on the topic of the anniversary, I was just reading that the president and Immobile went to meet the Pope. So maybe they've had some kind of divine blessing for this game, which maybe they're going to need. But then again, they're also not in the worst form coming into this off the back of two wins, Kenny.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was going to say Lazio started the season absolutely appallingly, and probably part of the narrative going into this match is that Lazio have been playing catch up, and they have been on some good form. They've stuttered a little bit recently, dropped a few points, but I think it's going to be a really, really interesting game. And it could again play into Milan's hands as the game last weekend did.
Yeah. Anyway, really looking forward to that tomorrow night. I'm just going to do an early honourable mention, actually, because I've got one for Gonzalo Villar, who's been really impressing in Roma's midfield. Mentioned Mkhitaryan last week, who's kind of playing alongside. And yeah, keep an eye out for him. He's probably going to miss an open goal and get sent off now, but hopefully not. Right, let's move on to the next game, Inter Juve on Sunday. We were just talking about Inter. So maybe from the Juve perspective, this is really a must win now. I mean, obviously it's still early-ish in the season, but Juve have fallen behind, haven't they, Kenny?
Yeah, well, Chiellini actually was in the press earlier this week saying that it's an important game, but it's not a must win. I don't really know what his motivation is for that. It's not really a rallying cry. But to be honest, they've got, coming back to this game that they've got to catch up with against Napoli, which they're not necessarily, you know, guaranteed to take 3 points from. They could well find themselves 10 points adrift this weekend if they don't win this game, and that's a long way back, halfway into the season. So there is a lot of football to be played, which I think is one of the things that Chiellini was getting at. But I find, I think everyone expected Juve to sort of come good, and they have shown signs of that, as we've discussed. just this ongoing narrative of the season being so unpredictable. If Juve lose this, then all of a sudden we're no longer talking about Juve being in great form. We're talking about crisis at Juve again. And it's just this roller coaster theme throughout the season that we've seen with the Inter, we've seen with Juve, and there were signs that maybe it would happen to Milan with their lead slipping, but they're still on top. I think Juve really need to take something from this game.
And touching upon what Kenny just spoke about, there is also Juve are in the midst of a small injury crisis, kind of the theme of this season. And so there's a few key players missing, and that could really impact the game. On the flip side, Inter are a team who have only kept a clean sheet in 3 games this whole season and have conceded 2 or more goals on 11 occasions already this season. So, I mean, at the very least, this game promises goals.
Yeah, and I think you would want De Ligt to be on the pitch to help sort of stem Lukaku's form, but he's not going to be there. He's one of the players missing. He tested positive for COVID-19, obviously, after the weekend. So yeah, it's it looks like an uphill task to me for Juve.
And I'm kind of touching on a point that I made last week, but Cristiano Ronaldo was again a little bit invisible in the game on the weekend. He did get a goal in the 90th minute or so, but this is 3 or 4 consecutive performances where he's not seen. There is an argument to be said that maybe defenses are marking him a little bit extra, which opens up space for the likes of Kulusevski and Chiesa. But at the same time, he's such a star, and you really expect him to have more of an impact on the game. Having said that, he is now the only player to have scored 15 goals or more in 15 seasons consecutively. So that shows what I know.
We don't even need other people on this podcast, Spurs. You can just argue with yourself.
Welcome to the What It's Like Inside My
Thanks
Mind.
For giving us a balanced picture there. But yeah, just as you were mentioning the kind of injury crisis into worth mentioning as we move on to the Coppa Italia roundup, that both Milan and Inter had to go to extra time and Milan to penalties to qualify. So that's just extra minutes and extra strain on the squads there.
And slightly selfishly, I would say that perhaps losing to Torino in the Coppa Italia, having just beaten them in the league, wouldn't have been such a bad thing the way this season is going and with Milan still in Europe. But there's a Euro derby coming up next as a result.
Yeah, Milan decided to take advantage of the opportunity from the penalty spot at the end there.
Yeah, the haters will be really on our back, on Milan's back, with 5 penalties given this time.
Yeah, exactly. So Inter did manage to overcome Fiorentina in extra time to qualify. Napoli beat Empoli 3-2. Juve went through against Genoa 3-2 as well. Sassuolo, I think the only team in the top 8 to be eliminated by Spal. Went to give them an honourable actually, didn't you, Kenny? Sorry, I've stolen your thunder. <bit there. laughs>
Yeah, I was going to give Spal an honourable for that. And we're in the situation where I haven't actually checked. The Atalanta game's ongoing as we...
3-1 up.
Scored. Right, okay. So we're still in a situation where we could have all 7 Italian participants in Europe in the quarterfinals of the Coppa Italia, depending on how Roma and Lazio get on next week. And Sassuolo would have been the only other side in the top 8 that aren't in Europe. They would have been in the quarterfinals as well. But Spal, who obviously got relegated last season, managed to stop them. So big honourable to them. It does have to be pointed out that Sassuolo had a man sent off, Juricic sent off. So yeah, numerical advantage at play as well there. But yeah, I'm happy to see Spal doing well in general, really.
Yeah, and the last 2 fixtures are Roma. Who are they playing? Roma playing Spezia and Lazio playing Parma, but they've been moved to next week because of the Rome derby tomorrow night. So just before we go on to the honourable mentions, let's just do a quick roundup of the transfer gossip. So confirmed transfers, Genoa have signed Strootman on loan from Marseille until the end of the season. And Sassuolo have told Man City and Juve where to go over their interest in Locatelli. Looks like he's going to be staying, at least for this window.
Let me jump in here. And I mean, Kenny just spoke about Sassuolo losing in the cup, which probably is almost worthy of this honourable mention. But I want to give them a quick honorable mention for the way they played with 10 men against Juventus. There was large parts of the match where they dominated possession and their passing was incredible. And if they had a decent defensive pairing, they probably would have won that game despite being down to 10 men. So Sassuolo are a brilliant side to watch and another honorable to them.
And the last confirmed transfer, Milan have signed Maita from Torino. But one particularly interesting rumor that we wanted to discuss on the topic of Milan, actually, is that they seem to be interested in Mario Mandzukic. That's being reported. We were just saying off air, they want kind of another old man to back up Zlatan when he's out. What do you think of it? Are you impressed with the prospect of Mandzukic?
It's a bit of a weird one. But I mean, I guess it makes sense if he's the backup to Zlatan. That changing room is not going to be very fun with those two hard men in it. Quite scary if you're a young guy.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing that I would find interesting to see is Mandzukic hasn't played any football for so long. I think I was reading today, it's 11 months since he last played a competitive game. I might be misremembering that. But yeah, either way, it'll be, you know, what there will be a lot of due diligence required to make sure that he's still in the right sort of shape. But I think Milan have got one thing that has developed under the Gazidis era, really, has just been how shrewd they've been in the transfer market. And I think if this comes off and if they get the Mario Mandzukic, who so many European football fans are familiar with, it could be an absolute masterstroke. But I guess, first of all, we'll have to wait and see if the deal actually goes ahead. But second of all, if it does, just have to wait and see what form he's in.
I mean, regardless of this transfer, I think in the next two or three transfer windows, top striker is a priority for Milan, because as much as we all love Zlatan, they won't be able to rely on him when he's in 41, 42. And they need to fill that gap as soon as possible.
Yeah. I think that is all the transfer talk that we've got time for. Maybe we can round up anything we've missed in the honourables. Boaz, on that note, do you want to kick us off?
So this is, I guess, an honourable mention to Vlahovic of Fiorentina, whose coach Prandelli said that he's as good as Adriano was when Prandelli was manager of Parma. That feels a little bit much to me, but Vlahovic is doing some good things this season, and after a start where Fiorentina couldn't find the goal anywhere, he's starting to maybe provide that. And with Patrick Cutrone going back to Wolverhampton, there is a lot more responsibility on his shoulder. And it's a good opportunity to also mention that Fiorentina will be playing Napoli this week. And in a midweek that has the Rome derby and Inter-Juve, that's a pretty big game too. So I'm kind of pissed off with the match day computer.
Kenny, you've got an honourable for that game, haven't you?
An honourable for Callejon. Actually, Boaz just mentioned that it's a game against Napoli, and it will be Callejon's first game back in Naples since leaving the club. And obviously, he's had a bit of trouble for various reasons adjusting to life in Florence. But by all accounts, Prandelli was very happy with his assist at the weekend. And it will be very, very interesting. It's a nice narrative to have in that story. Yeah.
Fantastic. Boaz, I don't know what this one is. There's an honourable for you here, down there.
Former, they all played for AC Milan at some point, but Ambrosini, Vieri and Odo were paparazzied walking their strollers in Milan this week. And Ambrosini commented that, look at us, we used to chase after a ball and now we're running after a pram. So I thought that was kind of cool.
And Kenny is also living the Vidal Loca.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just giving a dishonorable mention to Vidal for that absolutely atrocious effort against Roma. You see quite a lot of miscues even at the highest level in sport. But Vidal had about a week to prepare to get his shot off, and somehow still managed to completely miscue it. Yeah, check it out on YouTube if you haven't seen it, because that was there was a program in Italy called Mai Dire Gol. I'm not sure if it still happens. I imagine it's still on, but that I absolutely guarantee you that clip will have been in that show this week.
Does that count for the Gagliardini challenge?
I don't think it quite does, because the goalkeeper's there and there's bodies between him and the goal. It's a terrible miss.
Perhaps we need to invent a Vidal miss challenge or something, but we'll think about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. We need to come up with something for next week. Baz, you want to finish us off on another dishonorable, just to balance things up?
It's quite apt. We started the podcast speaking about Roma and Lazio, but Lazio, who seem to be quite prone to dishonorables on this pod, but essentially the story that was broken by The Guardian this week was that they purchased Pedro Neto as well as another player from Sporting Lisbon, and accidentally they transferred 11 million euros to Sporting Braga. So now there is a big bureaucratical issue with how to get the money to the right club. And I think Braga are not really happy to unleash the money again. So good times.
I mean, that's why we're called Scudetto, isn't it? Just to get the TV payments.
I can confirm, by the way, that my Dirigol has not been on Italian TV for 19 years. So that gives you a bit of an inclination as to how long ago I lived there. Yeah, a lot of our listeners, if they're in Italy, will be familiar with the show, I'm sure.
If you don't know it, you should YouTube it, because the highlights are incredible. Even to this day, it's really funny.
Good stuff. All right, well, on that note, we will leave you. If you don't already, please do subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your audio. We'll speak to you next week. Until then, enjoy the football.
La Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001.
Il maggio del 2008 l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto della squadra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.